Turn, if you would, to Acts, the 14th chapter. We're going to look at that whole chapter. There are 28 verses, so I'm going to forego the reading, which I usually read the scripture first. I'm going to forego that right now. In your bulletin, there's a handout to follow as far as looking on with what I'm saying. There's a little handout there for you in the bulletin if you want to follow and take notes. And so what we'll do is just go before our Father and ask his help now, and then we'll jump into the text. Loving Heavenly Father, we are grateful to stand in your presence, not in our own goodness, not in our own significance, not in anything we've done. We stand in your presence because we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, never to die again. It is through him that we have access to you, and so we are grateful that you've made this way of escape for us, that you've afforded to us, through faith in him, forgiveness of sin. We've been sealed by the Spirit. We've been placed into the body of Christ. We have purpose. We have redemption. And we are grateful, Father, that you have extended your love to us in sending your Son, in which love is defined. That is the definition of love, that you would send your Son. We're grateful for that. And we come to you today, a people that have been redeemed. Those of us who have come to faith in Christ are just that. And Father, that is all of your grace, all of your mercy. And so we give you thanks. We praise your great name. And Father, as we come before you, we are a people of great need. There are those today in our midst that mourn, that are scared, that are fearful. There are those that are grieving over the loss of a loved one. There are those that are really wondering when you're going to break through in a certain situation. There are those that have come in today that may be wondering, how in the world is it that I could ever have peace with God? Father, meet us where we're at. We need your help. We don't have it all together, but we look to you, the one who does. And Father, I pray that through the preaching of your word this morning, that you would minister powerfully to each of us, meet us right where we're at, help us to know what you would have us to know. And I pray we'll humble ourselves to you. Thank you for those who have assembled, who've made a decision today that to be in the house of the Lord is a place that I want to be. You're worth it. Thank you for that. Ministers to the young ones that have gone downstairs, and help them, Father, to know more about you. Guide me along through this scripture. Help me, Father, that I might not say something that I shouldn't. Help me and lead me through your Spirit to do and to say and to proclaim as I should and to respond as I should. I would pray for the listener that they would do the same. Father, may your word be what it ought to be. And we pray your Spirit in that realm would move in that way to help us to know, help us to see. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You're in Acts, the 14th chapter. I am going to read those first seven verses now. And then make a few comments. In Iconium, they entered. Remember, they had just gone from Pisidia, Antioch. They'd been run out of town, basically, Paul and Barnabas. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, some with the apostles. When an attempt was made both by the Gentiles and the Jews with the rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities like Caonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region, and they continued to preach the gospel. I've entitled this message, Staying the Course. It was a midsummer day. I was about 10 years old or so. I don't remember what we were working on at the time. I loved summers. You didn't have to go to school. And that's a great time of life. They never lasted long enough. But, you know, I don't know what the mission was, really what was going on that day, but I know that I felt this mission in my own heart to pester and irritate my mom. I remember that. This went on, and my mom was long in suffering that day, and she had finally had enough. She blurted it out. She blurted out to me, "You're driving me up the wall." To which I replied, "How fast?" she wasn't real impressed. It was not one of my finer moments for sure, and not one of hers. But you know what? She remained steadfast in her commitment to love me in spite of the circumstances. She didn't give up, throw in the towel, send me off to boarding school. She didn't do any of that. You know, you have had days like that. You're kind of on the receiving end of something, where it seems life is more down than up, where someone is consistently in your ear, where it seems that the situation is hopeless, you're helpless, where it would seem impossible to take another step forward. You just want to give up, get away. Sort of let the world run its course while you sit idly by and let it roll along. Or worse yet, step away from the body of Christ. Step away from pursuing the Lord. Give up on assembling together and serving the Lord. Too many have. You and I cannot be those people. We've got to stay the course. We must be steadfast in looking to Jesus and staying the course that is before us. Real Christ followers experience many ups and downs, many difficulties. None of us want hardships, right? We don't want heartaches. We don't want those things that are tough. We don't want to be on that side of the battle. We want to remain on the side of the battle where we continually see God bless, God move, good things happen. But it doesn't always work that way. It doesn't always work that way. And if it's not working that way, even if it is, we need to remain steadfast. Steadfast in pursuing Him. Steadfast in serving. These scriptures, this scripture I should say, provides for us help to do just that. I see four aspects of steadfastness, and I've noted them. The first, I've read those first seven verses, is a steadfastness in availability. Paul and Barnabas were not discouraged to the point that they packed up their bags and went back to Antioch, the church that had sent them. No, they could have. They went 85 miles or so to the southeast, came to Iconium, and what do? They go to the synagogue, and they proclaim Christ, the very same thing that they did in Pisidian Antioch that caused them to be tossed out of town. Iconium was one of the oldest cities in the world and known for its Greek culture. The people were proud and sophisticated. Iconium was a place where, located in the Roman province of Galatia, it was a beautiful city that sat on a plateau surrounded by fertile plains and plush forests. It was a prosperous commercial and agricultural city. People who lived there had a good life, and that's where they went. You'll notice there that individuals were touched. They were saved. Those first seven verses. Look at in Iconium, first verse, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and of the Greeks. They proclaimed the same message. They told these people, it's not by keeping the law, it's not by doing good, it's not by your religious fervor. God has moved. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who took your sins to the cross. God poured His wrath out. Somebody has to pay for that sin. He died. He rose again. He's King. He is the Savior of the world. That's what they told Him, the gospel message. And it says that a large number of people believed there. That's the power of the Word. And look at verse 7. And they continued to preach the gospel. There were those who believed. They just were steadfast in availability. Verse 3, they spent a long time there speaking boldly. There are those that opposed them. There's that other side of the battle. But they're saying, we're going to be steadfast in being available that God would use us. They boldly spoke with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of His grace. I love that phrase, the word of His grace. Granting the signs and wonders be done through their hands. And so there were individuals that were saved. Paul and Barnabas didn't give in to the pressure to those who opposed the message. For you and I today, we need to remember that. We cannot give in to those who oppose the message. Our culture wants you and I to shut up. They want to silence us. They don't want to hear about God. They certainly don't want to hear about His Son. You can keep it here. Don't take it in the public square. But you know what? For you and I, this is our message. And so we proclaim. We're not about pleasing them. We're about pleasing the Lord. And we need to be steadfastly available to do that. There were individuals there that were saved. There were individuals that were embittered. I got into this a little bit last week in proclaiming the word and how people respond. But here they are. You see that in verse 2 and then verses 4 through 6. The Jews who disbelieve stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and bittered them against the brethren. So they create this chasm, if you would. The schism. There's warfare going on there. They stirred others up. They didn't like the message. Verse 4, people of the city were divided, and that's what the gospel message does. It will divide friends and family. But it's a message of life. The people in the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made, both the Gentiles and Jews with the rulers, to mistreat them and stone them, they became aware of it. That's pretty violent. That's quite a reaction. It's not just we don't like your message, but listen, we're thinking about taking your life. And that's what they were up against. And so there needs to be this steadfast availability to you and I, to our God, to do whatever he's called us to do. You know, that takes something, doesn't it? We have to say, well, it's not about me today. It's not about what I want. It's not about my program. God, it's about yours. And so God has placed you and I in different places to make a difference, to shine the light of Christ. And there'll be those that think you're nuts, that you're a Bible thumper, that your mental capacity is pretty low. But we look to the Lord, and we keep proclaiming, and we'll do that. And we need to expect this. If we're living as we ought to live in this world, there'll be those that don't care much about you. You know, if everybody loves you that's out there, I really want to ask the question, what am I doing for the Lord? Because there are going to be those that don't care about me very much if I'm standing firm for Christ. And we have to say that's okay. That's the way it is. We're seeing that more and more, certainly in our nation, in what's going on in our society. So they were steadfastly available, but there was a steadfastness, too, in humility. Look at verse 8. At Lystra, so they continued to preach, but they left. They heard that there was this attempt, really, on their lives. Verse 8, at Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. He's a grown man. He's never walked in his life. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him, had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and began to walk. Amazing. It says, when the crowd saw that Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in Lyconian language, "The gods have become like men and have come down to us." They were steadfast in humility. First of all, to be used of the Lord. To be used of the Lord. There's compassion here. They're seeing this man who's been lame from birth. And, you know, it says Paul there, he says he had fixed his gaze on him, seeing that he had faith to be made well. So he isn't just ignoring him. Those are the people that are easy to ignore. You've got people that are upright, people that are they have power, and people that are moving, and there's this one guy sort of in the corner. But God's grace is available to all men. And the Apostle Paul was no respecter of persons. And he sees this man, he's moved. And he does, I believe, through the Spirit, a powerful miracle. Verse 10, stand upright on your feet. He leaped and began to walk. And so they were steadfast in humility to be used of the Lord. They could have easily dismissed this man from their thoughts and concerns. There's other people to serve, other people to take care of. Things are happening. But as followers of Christ, let's remember why we are here. It's to glorify the Lord no matter what. And our hearts need to be for all people. They were humble in their steadfastness, too, to reject the adoration of man. Look at verse, you saw it in the last part of verse 11. They were saying in a Lyconian language, the gods have become like men and have come down to us. That was what they were saying about Paul and Barnabas. They began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. At this point in the ministry of the church, Paul is at the head, at the forefront. He's the main speaker. And so they equated him with their pagan god. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garland to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowd. So they see what's happened here. They're saying, these aren't mere men. These are not mere men. They're gods. and we're going to worship them, and we're going to offer sacrifice. We're going to do homage. We're going to do adoration to them. And it seems to me that there's a little bit in the text that would help, would make me think that Paul and Barnabas at this point aren't quite sure what's happening. It may have been a certain dialect that they were was being spoke of that Paul and Barnabas didn't understand. But it says in verse 14, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they finally get it. This is what's happening. Here are two men of God. They are proclaiming the gospel. God has used them to do a powerful miracle. And now there are those that are saying, oh, they're gods, and we're going to worship them. Look at verse 14. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes, rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you, and we preach the gospel to you, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Paul went right back to Genesis in the creation account. He believed, by the way, in the creation account. In the generations gone by, he permitted all nations to go their own ways, and yet he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good and gave you rains from heaven, fruitful seasons. He's saying, you know what, you guys? Listen, what you are partaking of, you've seen God move, you see the seasons, you see the creation around you. He's a God of glory, the God of heaven. And he's been gracious in moving that way. He gives to your hearts he satisfies your hearts with food and gladness, even saying these things with difficulty. They restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. They rejected the adoration of man. I'm not sure how this would play out in our society today. If God granted that man would be moved in a powerful way, I'm not sure the humility that Paul and Barnabas put forth here would be theirs. Maybe we would say, well, you know, obviously, you know, you've got the people really respecting you. So, well, I can do big things with this and build a ministry, and it becomes self-focused. Paul and Barnabas, they tear their robes. That's like mourning, grieving. It's something that they want people to know. This is wrong. We are mere men just like you. That's what this great apostle is saying. Now, he could say, I'm a sinner just like the rest of you guys. I know Christ, I've been forgiven, but listen, I struggle with the same things you do. He would not allow himself and Barnabas to be put on some pedestal and worshipped in any way. And I praise the Lord for that note in the Scripture there. What a great example. You know, no man should think himself, no matter his position, above the struggles of the flesh, above the difficulty of walking with God as we should. And we as pastors should never, ever think, you know what, I got my tie on today. I wore my suit last week, and I'm above anything that you poor folks would struggle with. I'll pray for you. You know, I'm past that. No, not at all. You know, we're only a moment away, any of us, from doing something that would be so disrespectful to the Lord. And we are all mere men. We are all mere men, capable of some awful sins. And to be in that place is to be in the right place. There's protection there. There's safety there. Thinking, Lord, I want to honor you today. Listen, I realize I'm capable of doing something really bad. Keep me where I need to be. Let my focus be on you. That's where Paul and Barnabas were. So they were steadfast in their humility. I don't know what you think about yourself today, friend, but we ought not to think of ourselves more than we ought to think. We think of God. We think of his redemption, the grace he's poured out onto us, but we're not yet a finished product on this side of heaven. They were steadfast in their reliability as well. This is verses 19 through 23. Look at it with me if you would. Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they've traveled now. These Jews have. They've been chasing these guys like a hound with a coon. I mean, they are after them. They've traveled nearly 100 miles to go after Paul and Barnabas. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Verse 19. What a deal. Here's a man living for the Lord. Here's a man doing the will of God. It says, while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. An amazing thing. Yeah, so they drug him out of the city. You do that outside the city. If you're a religious person, you can't do that in the city. You take him outside, and the stones begin to fall. And here's Paul on the ground, not moving. I believe he's a bloody mess. And the disciples are around him, and they have to be shocked and broken. And guess what happens? He gets up. He gets up. And where does he go? Running for his life? No. He goes back into the city. He goes back into the city. Look at verse 19. They dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Verse 20, it says he got up. He stood around him. He got up and entered the city. The next day he went with Barnabas to Derbe. And they had preached. After they had preached the gospel to that city, they had many disciples. They returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraged them to continue on in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Probably not a message today that's really embraced, right? That's true. It's true. Through many tribulations, for the most part, difficulty is ours. You know, it costs us something to follow Jesus Christ. It does. God keeps his word. Jesus said that men will persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. We have this promise of tribulation and difficulty all through the New Testament. And when it comes, we say, what? How can this be? I didn't sign up for this. Is God not good? God's keeping his word. That's what he's doing. When it's hard, God's keeping his word. That's what he said would happen. So here's Paul. He's left for dead. But you know, we need to be steadfast in reliability when it's hard. And believe me, this was a tough day, I believe, for Paul, Barnabas, and the church. Jews had traveled, they pursued him. I'm reminded of a scripture, Proverbs 24:16, first part of that verse. It says, a righteous man falls seven times, but rises again. A righteous man falls seven times, but rises again. We may be down today, but as followers in Christ, we're not going to stay down. We will get up and we will get back in the battle. Paul didn't give up. He didn't give in. And he had every reason to. Do you realize that? He could have said to God, he could have played this self-pity game, right? What are you doing, God? I thought you were good. Here I am. I've given my life to pursuing you. And I've been going and proclaiming. I get run out of town. I'm going and proclaiming. I'm threatened with my life. And now I just got up from stone. I don't know how I'm alive. Look at me. I'm a bloody mess. Disrespected. I've had enough. I give up. But he never did. He never did. And he shouldn't have. And we should never, ever give up on the Lord. Ever. Hard things will come, folks. So will tremendous blessings. They'll be our lot. They'll both be there. You know, one thing I see in this 14th chapter, it seems to me, you could say it's an NFL game. I mean, you get punched in the face, and you go get smacked and knocked down, and it's a back and forth. It's like a heavyweight battle. It's like a marathon that's being run where someone leads, and you got this back and forth. That's what this 14th chapter is. And I believe it says to us, listen, this is more normal than you think. And in the middle of it, you need to be steadfast in whatever God has called you to. Be humble. Be available. Be reliable. That's what God desires from us. He's not looking for perfect people. He's not looking for those because he's not going to find any here, right? He won't find them here. But he's willing to work with us, willing to forgive us, willing to help us, and that grace is poured out. You know, later Paul would write in 2 Corinthians, he would write, when I am weak, then I am strong. You know what? He was strong. Some have looked at this situation. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 12 also about being caught up into heaven. And he couldn't speak about things. He saw things that men were not permitted to speak about. Some think this occurred at this moment in time in his life. We're not sure. But he stuck with the Lord when it's hard, when dispensing the gospel. He didn't give up on that. The next day he went away, verse 20, the last part of it. Next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. Hey, Barnabas, what do you think we ought to do when we get there? Barnabas replied, Paul, I think you better preach. I think you better preach. Look at verse 21. After they had preached the gospel to the city, the very thing that gets them in trouble all over the place. Let me ask you, do you think they were sold out to this truth? Do you think they really believed that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life? Do you really think that they believed that there was no other way to be right with God? They put their lives on the line believing it. Yeah, they believed it. And they continued. They preached the gospel of that city, made many disciples. Praise God. You've got both sides of this, right? There's this angst, there's this difficulty, there's this hardship, and boom, God brings a big blessing. People are saved. So when you and I are out in the street, we're out in the workplace, we're dealing with people, and we seem to get nowhere, don't forget, in due time, we will reap if we faint not. God's going to move. He's going to bring some fruit. People are going to be saved. They're going to be changed. And when it happens, we shout hallelujah, and it lights a little fire under us, and we keep going. That's what they did. And I love what they say here. They had preached the gospel of the city, verse 21, made many disciples. They returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch. You know where they go? They go right back to where they've been run out of town. It's amazing. And what do they do there? Strengthening, verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue on in the faith, saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. They're encouraging these guys, and they're being real. You know, we do not say, you come to faith in Christ today, listen, all your troubles will be over. God will bless you with health. All those things will be gone that you're struggling with physically, and he's gonna provide for you a sort of this road of roses to walk down, and you'll probably have that new Ford pickup truck with aluminum frame, all that stuff. No, we don't say that. Maybe even your football team will win a game. We don't say that. We say, you know, this is the most glorious thing you can ever do, to serve the risen King. And I will tell you, one day, it'll be worth it. All those trials and troubles, one day, it'll be worth it. Look with me. I think of a verse this is in Romans 8. The difficulty that we face, you know, in light of the greatness of God. Romans 8, verse 18. I consider, this is what Paul wrote, and I believe he's writing out of some of these circumstances. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Some of you guys are traveling a hard road, and I want to say to you just what Paul said. Don't give up. I want to encourage you in the faith. It'll be worth it when we see Jesus. It will. So moms, be steadfast in putting up with those kids, okay? One of the hardest jobs in the world. Getting them ready for church. Be steadfast. Don't give up on them. Continue to look to the Lord. It'll be worth it. Verse 23, when they appointed elders for them in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. Guys, you're in God's hands. That's what. We're going to leave you with this. You're in God's hands. They commended them to the Lord, those that had believed, or in whom they had believed. Verse 24, they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that had been accomplished. When they arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report the things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. They spent a long time with the disciples. What a day that was. They were steadfast in loyalty. I believe, first of all, toward God. They weren't going to give up on God. There's no way they're giving up on him. They went back to those places where they had spoken the word. And from there, they sailed to Antioch. They're going back to the place that sent them out, to which they had been committed to the grace of God. They didn't give up on God. That was a difficult, hard route. This basically is the end of Paul and Barnabas' Paul's first missionary journey. He'll do two more. We've come to the end of it. What an experience. What an experience. And you know what? He is just a loyal, loyal follower of Christ. No circumstance, nothing that anyone would say or do to him would move him from saying, Christ is my Lord and my King. I will serve him no matter what. they were loyal toward the body. Look at verses 27 and 28. They arrived, they went back to the church from whence they'd gone. That began in chapter 13, verse 2, where they'd been, the Spirit of God moved, said, set apart from me, Paul and Barnabas. I got a work for them to do. What an amazing time this must have been. What an encouragement to the church. They're going back, they're telling all that we've been reading, and I believe a whole lot more detail was filled in. You could hear how they felt, how they were at perhaps at times fearful, yet they kept moving on. They were steadfast in loyalty. They gave a report, and they also gave of their time. You know, it's one of the things that I think we struggle with the most to give up sometimes for the Lord is our time. If you're going to serve the Lord, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost. One of the things is your time's not your own. You'll have to give up some time. And so they were the kind of guys, Paul and Barnabas, they were the kind of guys that had your back. If you were a follower of Christ, they had your back. They were loyal, not only to God, but to the body, to their brothers and sisters. And they would stand with you no matter what. Paul didn't cut and run. He has the boldness to go back through all those towns with Barnabas where they'd been run out of town, finally to get back to Antioch, not Pisidian Antioch, but Antioch that had first sent them out. And I can hear him say this, brothers, sisters, remain steadfast. Oh, don't you give up on the Lord. Don't you give up on the Lord. He wants to use you. He wants you to make a difference. And we are the means in which he ministers on this earth, you and I. And so you keep following him. Keep pressing on. Do that, brothers and sisters. Yeah, there'll be difficult days, but don't give up. One day, you'll stand before your Lord. One day. We will, right, friends? Oh, what a day that'll be. And all those struggles, I believe, will be a distant and fading memory. Continue on in the grace that is afforded to us. You know, I don't know what you think about what you've heard, but if you're going to take away this morning, you know, I'm charged up and I can do this, you're probably going to go flat on your face. There's a key here in chapter 14 and verse 3 as to how Paul and Barnabas could do this. It's in verse 3. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord. NIV says, enabling them. Here's the key. There was grace and help from the Lord for them. He gave that to them. But that doesn't come without a humbling of ourselves to him, a giving up, a giving over, a surrender to him. I believe Paul and Barnabas, when they got up in the morning, they said, Lord, something like this, Lord, I'm yours today. Do with me as you will. It's not about me. It's not about my missionary journey. It's not about my name. It's not about what other people think. It's about you and you alone. And I'm going to give myself over to you. You know, God's grace is there for you and I. But self-will and self-help and self cannot get us through. And maybe some of you are struggling big time today with that. You're saying, you know, I've given it all I got, and it seems like I get nowhere. Friend, have you humbled yourself before the living God and given yourself over? I believe you'll have success. Friend, we need to stay the course. And it's not something we can do on our own. It's by pressing into him, relying on him, and letting his grace pour into us. I just want to finish with these words. Steadfastly look to Jesus as you continue this course by his grace. Let's pray. Loving Father, it's an amazing, amazing scripture that we've looked at today, and we're, at least I'm moved greatly by the events that are before us. One thing that just jumps out to me is the steadfastness in which your servants ministered. Father, it should never be that we would give up. As those who follow our Savior, our Lord, our Christ, we ought never to give up. But if we're honest, we probably would have to say there are times we feel like giving up, and maybe we've said we have given up. Father, if there's anyone in that place today, move them to see you and your greatness, your availability and your ability. You're always there. You said, you've promised it. If we draw near you, you'll draw near to us. Your arms are always wide open. You're available. And your ability is beyond what we can at times see or believe. And I pray, Father, that every one of us will just look to you, that we'll be steadfast, and that we'll make ourselves available, that we'll be humble, and that we'll just serve you with all our hearts, and that we'll be loyal till the day you call us home. Bless this people, Father. Impact their families, their friends, this community, and beyond because of what you're doing in them. Father, if there's someone here today that have yet to come to faith in Jesus Christ and know what it is to be set free, I pray that they would make a decision to trust him as their Savior. We would ask that you would move them to do that right where they're at. Bless each, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just let me get to the back and you'll be dismissed.